Next level protection for your canine patients is here. NexGard Plus, a Fox Aligner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets, is the one and done monthly protection that prevents canine heartworm disease, protects your canine patients from fleas and ticks, and treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. All in a delicious beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Next level protection. NexGard Plus.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Well, if you're a general practitioner, veterinary technician, and student, this is for you, because the topics that we're going to chat about is something that we see every day in general practice, from anal gland conditions to osteoarthritis. And joining us is the founder and CEO of VetNeek and my friend, Dr. James Bacheron, in the house. How's it going, James?
Good. Hey, Dr. Christman, or Adam, because we go way back.
I mean, whatever you want to call it, you know, it can change. Yeah. Change from day to day, podcast to podcast.
I'm sure you've been called worse, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. All the time. Well, thanks for joining us. And, you know, you've done so much in this profession. So, and it's definitely worth noting all the great accolades that you have done. And he is, like I said, the founder and CEO of VetNeek. It's a pet health company dedicated to creating vet-formulated solutions that helps pets thrive for life. Since launching in 2012 with the groundbreaking supplement Glandex, which I think everyone has heard of for anal gland health, Dr. Bacheron has led VetNeek to become a leader across multiple categories, including digestive support, dermatology, ear care, and joint health. He has a passion for innovation and for growth. And Dr. Bacheron was also recently named an EY Entrepreneur of the Year award winner, true testament to his impact on veterinary innovation and the pet health industry. Congratulations.
Thanks, Adam. I feel like you're being way too kind and way too generous, but I appreciate it. And, you know, I only had to pay you a small amount of money to say that, so that's great.
Well, listen, I mean, innovation is how we move the profession forward together. So having that mind like yours and collaboration is really helpful, especially for our pets and the parents that we take care of as well. All right. So, you know, anal gland problems, my gosh, James, I'll tell you, I mean, you know this, I'm on Instagram and TikTok a lot. It is probably the top five most common question that I get asked from pet owners. I have many listeners tuning in. You have it at least once, twice, even five times a day in practice, about anal gland health. What do we currently know about some of the data that dogs that deal with anal gland issues?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you nailed on the head. Everyone loves to talk about anal gland issues. Like, that's why we all became veterinarians and vet techs, was to express anal glands all day. You know, I think you did actually nail it, though. It is actually a very common issue in pets. Anal sacculitis is extremely common. We believe that the incident rate is around 10 to 12% of all pets. And the interesting thing when you think about anal gland issues versus other common conditions, one that we'll talk about, osteoarthritis, anal gland issues affects all dogs and cats, all breeds, all ages, all sizes. It is not, comparing it to osteoarthritis, poster child is a senior dog, likely medium to large breed, like a German Shepherd. Anal gland issues are just much more common. And it does seem like they are increasingly becoming more common. And I do think it's, you know, the correlation to poor digestive health, allergies, underlying allergy issues causing perianal irritation, inflammation. I think as we're seeing more issues around those two big correlated areas, then we're also seeing a higher incident rate of anal gland issues.
And we're seeing a lot more research now coming out about the microbiome and the gut and how important it is to not only take care of, as many of our listeners now know, it's not just the gut that we're also feeding, we're taking care of the skin and anal gland support. And I know the products that you have, for instance, help nourish that, right? So tell me a little bit more about how that correlation.
Well, sure. We are increasingly understanding that the gut and the linkage to overall health is extremely profound. So a key component of Glandex for maintaining healthy anal glands is just really thinking about the total body health. So thinking holistically, particularly around the digestive health and digestive tract. So Glandex, for that reason, does have probiotics in it, It has prebiotics. It has digestive enzymes. And of course, the main component is the right types of fiber, both soluble and insoluble fibers, dosed in the right amount. So really thinking intentionally about the positive impact of digestive health, the microbiome, gut health, and impact to the immune system, to overall allergies, and of course, stool quality, which is a big component of having anal glands function properly.
You know, there's a point where I'll, when I'm practicing and you see that same dog over and over again, the owner is like, they're making these technician appointments, and sometimes it bypasses us. And, you know, like you're walking back. I remember seeing these dogs on the table and getting enough. I said, didn't we just see her last week? And they're coming in for an anal gland expression again and again. And I feel like it raises the red flag for us realizing that it may not just be an anal gland issue. It can be something like atopic dermatitis, right?
100%. Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think we've been conditioned a little bit as vets. Sometimes we just go right to the treatment. And particularly in this instance, right, it's easy enough to do an anal gland expression, but you know, overly manipulating the glands just further exacerbates the problem, reduces the tone of the glands itself, and can create, you know, some microtrauma to the ducts and further irritation. So I do think it's worthwhile to stop and pause and say, okay, this pet has recurrent condition, whatever the recurring condition is, in this case, anal gland issues. What do we need to be thinking about? Are there underlying allergic issues here that we're not recognizing? Is there an underlying, you know, digestive health issue, whether imbalance of bacteria, you know, a parasitic issue or something else, or a diet change that's needed? On that note of diet, I mean, it is interesting that as we've gotten to higher quality, more expensive, fancier dog foods, one trying to outcompete the next, you know, have we done too much and removed a little bit too much of the fillers and the fibers that are necessary to form bulky and firm stools? So there was this whole movement around grain free, as we all know. And, you know, there are repercussions to it. You know, there does require some of those elements in the digestive tract and in the diet to produce formed and healthy and bulky stools that are necessary to empty the glands. And so it's one of the theories that we have on why anal gland issues are increasing. And just so all the viewers can hear this, they are technically called anal sacs. So we do know that. We go by anal glands because I think sometimes it's a little bit easier for people to understand what you're talking about. But the correct term is anal sac and anal sacculitis.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. That is true, because there is a disconnect. Like, pet owners may not seem to recognize like anal sac versus like anal gland. It just seems to be more, you know, I don't know, people get to recognize that more and assimilate to that. But yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, we know that they can get abscesses, they can get pasty materials. We know that tumors can build up there. And I gotta say, you know, when you looking at the ingredients of what Glandex has, I mean, it's kind of like the OG. And the reason why I personally find it successful is because the testimonials that I hear from pet owners as well, not only is it palatable, but listen, and if you know, I own dachshunds, and we own dachshunds, it's like fine china. Look, but don't touch, but they have so many issues. And one of them, of course, is the anal gland issues. But, you know, it's their treat. I give it to them, you know, like in their food or whatever. But talk to me more about the correlation that you see with, I know you touched on it earlier with Glandex and anal gland health, but what does that look like overall when we're talking about the wellness portfolio of our dogs?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got to think more proactively. And again, we said anal gland and anal sac issues are extremely common in pets. And so we have to think proactively. It's not just the Band-Aid solution of, okay, let's go and have the glands express. I think we need to think about our pet's overall health and same way we think about our own health. And so, you know, in the case of Glandex, it is formulated to address the underlying causes and issues surrounding anal sacculitis. The key component is the digestive health. And so for many pets, again, if they're, you know, indiscriminate eaters, they're going outside, they're getting into dirty water or eating garbage. If, you know, their diet is not meeting their nutritional needs, which oftentimes that can happen, supplementation is extremely helpful and in many cases would be required to get things back on track. So having the right levels and amount of fiber to produce healthy stools, having the right, again, microflora to help support a healthy digestive tract, having underlying ingredients like omega fatty acids and things to support overall health are really important.
I love what you're talking about, because you really are you're talking about a multimodal approach. And interestingly enough, at the filming of this podcast today, I did drop a video on top 10 trends that are happening in the pet industry. And one of them is multimodal care. And this is exactly why, you know, when you look at the VetNeek portfolio, for instance, it hits everything, yeah. Right? You know, we want to be very good antimicrobial stewards at the same time. And when you're just talking about anal gland health, but also has that overarching component when we're looking at atopic dermatitis, for instance. I mean, you got topical shampoos and leave-ons and wipes and things to work out the wrinkles and all those. So what does that look like from your perspective as a veterinarian when we're looking at, you know, approaching an atopic dog, knowing now that we have this great arsenal, if you will, and at the same time being mindful and cognizant of the fact that we have to be careful of antimicrobial usage?
Well, I think it's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, for myself and I think for VetNeek, I mean, our mission is help pets thrive for life. And I think, you know, as veterinarians, obviously we all get into the profession with the mindset of improving pet health and being the expert and the steward of the profession and the industry as a whole to really be the best advocates for pets. And so while easy enough to go and reach for the prescription drug when a patient presents themselves, I think, again, you talked about it before, like, okay, they're coming in visit after visit. You know, let's lift our heads up and let's think about this a little bit more thoughtfully. What is really going on here? And how do we address the needs of this pet the best? And in many, like many things in life, it's not just one solution, right? There are many potential solutions. And really thinking multimodal, I mean, you gave a great example of allergies, but there are many other examples as well. You know, a prescription drug like Apoquil would be potentially a good solution, right? But there could be a myriad of other steps from changing the environment to introducing, you know, a bathing routine, to proper grooming, to topical solutions, both medicated, non-medicated, each of which is one layer component towards the ultimate outcome of improving the pet's health and driving the greatest efficacy. And so as we think, you know, we talk about VetNeek being a solutions-based company. We're not a product company, we're a solutions-based company. We like coming up with solutions. We think about the biggest problems in pets, then we think about how do we tackle it. So for instance, for anal glands, multimodal would include a supplement with the right amount of fiber, so meeting the nutritional needs of the pet. It would include a grooming hygienic wipe to keep the area clean and sanitary from things that could build up, including allergens. And then includes a medicated topical spray that has lidocaine and hydrocortisone to reduce inflammation. So you can think about those three different components as one part of the puzzle. And there could be other things. It may require prescription drugs or infusion of the anal sacs with a procedure. There could be more things that need to be done, including anal gland expression, by the way. When the glands are impacted, they sometimes are required to be released. But this is the way that we can practice better medicine.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you're talking about solutions-based. You know, at the same time, when we're talking about multimodal approaches, we also talk about like spectrum of care. And within that spectrum of care, not everyone can bathe their pet. Not everyone can brush their teeth. Right. And that's okay. I like that. Yes. We have alternatives that can equally get us from A to Z. You know, and I'll just give an example too, because I see this a lot. A lot of pet owners want to brush their pet's teeth, but they either can't, or cleaning their ears, they can't get the nozzle in. You guys have these really great innovative ideas of either finger mitts and wipes. And I think it's really great because not everyone can. And now you have solutions for people with spectrum of care top of mind and multimodal care in there as well.
100%. I mean, I think, you know, if we want to be effective as veterinarians, we need to think practically. We're all busy. We're trying to do too much. I think adding convenience into the pet parent's life is important. Then another word is just compliance. I think the biggest challenge to pet health is compliance. You know, no, whatever the prescription drug or medication, no matter how effective or good it is, it doesn't work unless it's, you know, the pet will take it and you can do it regularly. So when we thought about ear care and dental care, we thought about, you know, what is the practical way? The gold standard, as an example, for maintaining dental health is brushing your teeth. We all do it multiple times a day, or some of us do, some of us don't. But we all, you know, aim for that standard. And so, but when you think about a dog, brushing a dog or a cat's teeth is likely not going to work or end well. So in many cases, we have to think differently. So that's why we developed our dentalless dental wipes. So a single finger mitt slips under your hand, easy with friction beads and the right solution of things that prevent plaque buildup and help with oral health. So the right solution on the wipe itself, and it becomes very easy then to clean the tooth surface on a daily or at least multiple times a week, you know, if we can get to that point. And starting them on a puppy and educating them in the puppy exam of, okay, this is how you do proper dental care, not waiting until they need a tooth extraction or they have advanced tooth decay or periodontal disease to then implement a regimen around dental health, thinking about it when they have the pearly white puppy teeth, getting that pet and that pet parent accustomed to, hey, you take care of your own teeth every day. You should be doing the same for your own pet.
Absolutely. Well said. So we're talking about things that we're seeing every day. So we see dental care, we're talking about brushing the teeth all the time. We see a lot of anal gland issues. We certainly see a lot of itchy dogs and cats. And also talking about the multimodal approach, pivoting over to hips and joints and osteoarthritis. I mean, our pets are living longer. This is awesome. Fantastic. And even into 2026, we even have more great stuff that's on the way. And I'll say this, it's a great time to be a veterinarian because pet owners are so interested and very proactive in extending their quality of life, doing what they can at home, and being more proactive than reactive. So what's the current status that we see dogs and cats that are being diagnosed with osteoarthritis?
Well, I mean, I think you really stated it well, is that people really do care about their pets. And I love seeing that, you know, this concept that pets are family and they're children to all of us is so powerful and so amazing. I will, before we even get into that, I mean, for me, this is an important topic because one of my roles as a veterinarian was as a house call vet. And in that practice, 50-60% of what I did was at home euthanasia. And as you can imagine, you know, unfortunately, one of the number one reasons we're putting pets to sleep is because they have advanced osteoarthritis. They are in extreme pain. They can no longer get up. And it's very difficult and painful to watch. And of course, we don't want to see our pets suffer. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, again, as veterinarians, we need to think more proactively and help our clients think more proactively towards their pet's health. And I think waiting until the client is now recognizing signs of osteoarthritis is likely that we have failed and it is too late. You know, by the time someone says, you know what, my dog can no longer get up and down the stairs, that means they have advanced, you know, degenerative joint disease and osteoarthritis. There's bone on bone at that point. The pet is in extreme pain. And again, you know, is there a place for an NSAID? Of course, and multimodal, of course. But that should not be the first thought, right? We should be thinking ahead and saying, hey, you have a dog that is, you know, medium or large size, that's prone to osteoarthritis, could be prone to having hip dysplasia. And we need to be proactive on recommending imaging. We need to be proactive on having the conversation at the puppy exam when someone gets that, you know, golden retriever or German shepherd that, hey, one of the things you need to be mindful of is that at some point, sooner than later, your pet is going to have a high potential for osteoarthritis. So all the research shows that getting a patient on the proper supplementation early before the signs of osteoarthritis begin does help reduce the symptoms of osteoarthritis and helps delay the onset and improves the joint health.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking a lot about proactive care versus reactive care. And a lot of these these conferences and the lectures, they talk about getting them on them early, you know, as early as a year of age, actually, because of the benefits to this additive science that we're seeing, the fact that it's not just for hip and joints, it's also, you know, for skin, eye support, brain development. There's so many different things out there. But I'm curious, I don't know if the listeners are too familiar. Hopefully they know some research out there, but green lipped muscle is really showing a lot of great benefits. And in there, and specifically YouMove is the one that we're talking about. Tell us a little bit about that, what we know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very happy that we acquired the YouMove product line, which is the number one hip and joint product in the UK. Green lip muscle. So first of all, to address your prior point, you know, we don't tell patients, okay, you should start on probiotics when your dog is 12 years old. and has very loose stool and poor digestive health, and their intestinal function has diminished. We think about that as being, again, a proactive solution. So we should be thinking the same with other conditions, including joint health. Greenwood mussel is an amazing, powerful ingredient. So there are many different types of hip and joint supplements. They're not all created equally. And while glucosamine and chondroitin are healthy ingredients and helpful for joint health and the building structures, greenwood mussel has proven through research and through many years of practice to be a very impactful ingredient in terms of joint health, specifically inflammation. And it is because of the omega-3 fatty acids that are within the greenwood mussel, which rival any other type of greenwood or omega fatty acid source. So typically we think about omegas coming from fish oils and other sources, flax and other things. But the greenwood mussel, the profile of the fatty acids in greenwood mussel have proven to be more effective and more beneficial to pets, specifically when we refer to osteoarthritis, pain, inflammation, and joint health. And I'd also say that not all things are created equally. So just like with probiotics is the example again, just because a probiotic says it has a certain label claim of the amount of probiotics in the product, it is about the quality, viability, and the right strains. And so the same goes true with other supplements, including you're thinking about a really good hip and joint supplement. The quality of the ingredients, specifically the greenwood mussel, is very important.
Yeah, I love that. And has NASC label on there as well,
Of
right?
course, yes. We don't put anything out that's not been vetted and approved by the NASC and guidelines of the NASC and quality standards.
Yeah. And I invite the listeners too. I mean, if you just Google, it's open access articles. It's on the human side too, on green-lipped mussel. The data is pretty incredible. I mean, this is when I was starting to do my research myself, just because, I like to see what's out there, and you start seeing a lot of momentum about this. And I did see that it was the number one, hip and joint supplement in the UK. And I was like, huh, look at this. And so yeah, I think that the data is really solid on what we're seeing with our pets now, which is pretty awesome. And there's different formulations of it, I understand too, right? With you move.
Absolutely, yeah, depending on age and strength and requirement. So if a pet has needs mild support versus more advanced support for their hip and joint, there are different variations. So that's back to the being more proactive, catching it before the onset of osteoarthritis or early signs versus my pet has advanced degenerative joint disease and is really struggling. And I will say, you talked about research. I think one of the things we pride at VetMeek is the research that we do, and specifically for EUMOVE, the clinical studies that have been done around EUMOVE and the benefits of pets are really, really remarkable.
Yeah, really remarkable. And as we're wrapping up, I want to just kind of pivot this, because you are an entrepreneur, and I like to kind of pick your brain a little bit to some of the listeners out there. What advice would you have for those who might be considering, say, entrepreneurial path, or want to innovate in clinical practice?
For me, I have a huge passion towards entrepreneurship, but also, stepping out away from just that is just reaching your full potential in life. And, I think you have aspirations and ambitions, to make a bigger impact in pet health, and you want to do that through entrepreneurship. I would encourage you to pursue it. It's not an easy path, but like many things in life, that are worth doing, it's not easy. But, if you're able to, find something you're passionate about, and find a path outside of, day-to-day practice, I think it can be extremely rewarding and extremely fulfilling. And
Yeah.
it's been a very exciting journey for myself, and one that I've really enjoyed. So.
That's fantastic. In the years that I've known you too, just to see your growth, I'm so proud to call you my friend and colleague. To see, I mean, even you're already successful when I knew you, but where you are now, it's so great to see what you're doing for the profession. And I always like to add, just stay curious, right? Like,
Yeah.
push the boundary,
Yes.
ask the
Yeah.
why,
Yeah. 100%.
somebody's got to.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't. Yeah. Let's not be complacent. Let's think
Right.
bigger and better. But let me just return it back to you, Adam. Like, you are an amazing person. One of the things I love about you is I've never been around you where I don't immediately start smiling or laughing. So you have a gift in that sense. I think what you're doing for the industry and the profession is incredible. And I've seen your growth and your success. I'm very also proud of you. Every time I see your name, literally in lights, it always makes me feel good. You are spreading positivity, happiness, but also educating the profession and the pet parent consumer. And I think there's so much misinformation out there that it's really important that, you know, we have a voice for pet health and helping people understand, you know, the truth versus fiction and falsehoods. And so you've been a huge advocate. And we talk about that at Vetnik, about helping pets thrive for life is not just through product, it is through education. And education is so important. So thank you for all that you're doing for the vet community and the pet community.
Thank you so much. It means the world to me. Coming from you, my gosh, it really does. I absolutely love to. I love to spread joy and education. I think you can laugh and learn at the same time. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think they should be together. And that's one thing that I always said as an educator myself, and I learned better when I was in a better atmosphere, you know? And so, 100%. Right. So when you have fun and you laugh a little bit, of course, knowing the, you know, the topics, of course, things like that, but, you have to have it. I think life is so short. We've all been through experiences that have been pretty rough, you know? And, but it makes you stronger, it builds character. But one thing I always say to anyone out there that's looking to build out their brand and go onto social media is never to compromise your character and your integrity. Yeah. You don't have to do those things. Stay true to you. Don't look at the views. Don't look at those. Do what makes you feel happy and gives you joy. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm, you know, the recipient, the 2025 recipient of the AVMA Media Award. And God, it's a huge honor to have that, because exactly what you said, they said, you know, thank you for elevating the profession and putting it front and center. And it's not just me. There's a whole, you know, wonderful group of us in this profession that do great things. But my personal mission is to really put it front and center in mainstream media, because we love our animals. Everyone does. It's such a neutral, great space to be in. Right? Yeah. You know, we have so much going on in the world. But there's one thing that we always need at the end of the day, and that's our pets. We need them.
Yeah.
And, 100%. You know, by you and what Vetnik does to help improve the lives of animals and making it easy to administer these medications and shampoos, that's what it's all about, is collaboration saves lives, is what we say here at work. And it's really true with what you guys do. So thank you for all you do.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. Well said, by the way, staying true to yourself, and congrats on that award. It's so well deserved.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. I'll Venmo you later. Where can we learn more about Vetnik?
Obviously through our website, vetnik.com, I think would be the best place. We're also at a lot of the major conferences. So we're at WBC and VMX. We'd love for people to stop by our booth. We love talking to people firsthand. I'd love to meet some of your audience and your listeners.
Thank you. And I want to also say that too. This is a huge thank you for that. Thank you for supporting the veterinary profession and veterinary education. You know, it's one thing to, of course, work with the consumers and help out the pet owners. And it's not easy, as you know, to be in those spaces. And you do it very well. And it's nice to have, you're at all of them. Not you, but your whole team as well. And it's nice to have that visibility. So thank you for all you do. And we'll put all that information in the show notes for the listeners as well. So Dr. James Bacharan, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you. I love it. Thanks, Dr. Chrisman. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Chrisman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.